New research from the Grattan Institute has found that protest politics is on the rise in Australia. But what does that mean for our political landscape? Joining us now to speak about this is Danielle Wood. She's the Program Director of Budget Policy and Institutions at the Grattan Institute. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
Now, we've seen examples around the world where protest politics has been successful, and the latest research has shown it's on the rise in Australia. Why do you think this is?
Well, that was exactly what we set out to try and find out, what actually lies behind this rise in the minor party vote in Australia. And there seems to be a few things. The predominant thing, though, is falling trust in government. So people are abandoning the major parties because they no longer trust them, and they're going and voting for a minor party in the hope of getting a different result.
So is this a broader reaction, the protest politics? You know, like voting for a minor party, is that the beginning of this sort of larger movement, do you think?
It may well be. I mean, we're certainly not at the stage that we see in a lot of countries in Europe, for example. But what we are seeing is a pretty sizable shift in voting patterns. So minor party votes been on the rise in Australia actually since the Second World War. It's sort of been trending upwards slowly, and it goes up and down according to, you know, which minor parties are on offer at a particular election. But we've seen a really big jump up in the past five elections. So first preference Senate votes for anyone that wasn't Labor, Liberal, Greens or Nationals were 12% in the 2004 election. They were 26% in the 2016 election. So you can imagine that if the numbers get much higher than that, you can be looking at a pretty fundamental realignment.
Now, what happens if we have a whole series of different parties having presence in parliaments across the country? Are things still going to get done? Is it going to sort of be roadblocks on legislations and just the day-to-day work of running a country?
Look, it can make things more challenging to manage. We've had an experience of a minority government at the federal level in 2010. We've had a lot of experience with major parties not having the balance of power in the Senate. What it means is that they form coalitions, they have to negotiate. So it's not necessarily a bad thing for policymaking. That can be healthy, actually, for parties have to negotiate with people with different views. Not necessarily a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing, but it's certainly the outcome that the voters are pushing for at the moment.
Now, given this protest, as it's being put, is being put through democratically through voting, does this show a mistrust in the government?
Well, we certainly think it does, because what we did was to look at the attitudes, or the sort of survey data of the attitudes of people that were voting for minor parties compared to the major parties. And they weren't particularly different on most economic issues. They weren't particularly different on most social issues. But the one thing that differentiated someone that voted for Nick Xenophon or Pauline Hanson or Jackie Lambie from someone voting for the major parties tended to be lower trust in government. So that seemed to us to be an important part of the appeal of the minor parties. And they're actually, some of those, you're very familiar with Nick Xenophon in South Australia. They're very, savvy at kind of casting themselves as an outsider to the political process.
Is this fire being stoked by those politicians, do you think?
By the minor party politicians?
Yes, yeah. Like people like Jackie Lambie, who sort of almost, had come in with an intention of shaking up government, and that's their sort of mission statement going in.
Yeah, look, I think that's quite clever. If you're coming into an electorate which is dissatisfied, and all the indicators of trust in government and satisfaction with the process suggest that they've been falling at least since 2007. So people are feeling distrustful and cynical about government, then coming in and promising to shake things up may well be a pretty successful strategy, although it didn't work terribly well for her in the Tasmanian election, but has worked federally in the past.
We're speaking with Danielle Wood from the Grattan Institute. They've just released a report about how protest politics is on the rise in Australia. Now, Danielle, you've mentioned how the Australian population feeling distrustful of government. I mean, I suppose to some extent that's not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself. What can governments do to regain the trust of the people?
Yeah, that's a great question, a very big question. It's something that we sort of started to talk about in the report, but I think it's something we'd like to do further research on. But there's probably a few places to start. I think they should sort of go into a period of just quiet policy making, toning down the rhetoric on the public debate. I think people would like to see more sort of policy delivery and you know, less in the way of personality politics.
Well, they are there to represent us. And every time they sort of ask us more, it's like, you can just go do your job a bit, can't you?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think when, you know, politicians, you know, say they're going to fix housing affordability or power prices, you know, often they don't have that much scope to make a difference on those things. And, you know, that raises expectations in the people's minds that are then dashed. So being realistic about what you can actually do and then going and delivering it is a really good place to start. We think also broadening the backgrounds of people that are getting pre-selected into the parliament. Over the past few decades, we've seen a real narrowing, not so much in terms of gender or ethnic diversity, but those things are important too, but in terms of just, you know, people's life experience before politics. So increasingly people are getting pre-selected that have been union officials or political advisors or lobbyists, which I think then raises questions in the minds of the public about what extent they are representing the views of ordinary Australians. And finally, we think they should look to doing things like narrowing the influence of vested interest in politics. People are very sceptical that big business and unions have a lot of control over policy. So looking at things like political donations laws, lobbying laws, the revolving door between politics and lobbying is an area where I think, you know, you could make action now. Trust will take a long time to rebuild. But if you do those things, you know, and take away those kind of periodic scandals that pop up and slowly erode public trust, you may well be able to turn the ship around.
What about if the trend continues, what about if these implementations aren't taken into place? Where could it lead for Australia?
Well, it's difficult to know where you go in a world where the majority of people don't trust the system. So at the moment, we have pretty low trust in political parties and politicians. The proportion of people that say that they don't believe in democracy is sitting at around 20 or 30%, which is pretty high. Amongst One Nation voters, that can be as high as 80%. So with a lot of people that don't believe in the system, I think it makes it harder to get things done, number one. It's just harder to implement big policy reforms when you haven't been able to bring the general public with you. Something else that's happened historically, if we kind of go, you know, back before the Second World War, is when the minor party vote has hit levels close to what we're seeing now, we've actually seen a fracturing of the major parties. So they've, you know, either found themselves facing pressure from the left or the right, and that's actually led to them breaking up and a kind of a realignment of the political system. Now, I'm definitely not saying that, you know, we're going to go there, but there's at least some historical precedent for that.
Well, hopefully we can find a way to, you know, regain some trust in democracy and prove that this system that we've, you know, built a country on actually does work.
Let's hope so. I'm optimistic.
That's always good to hear. Hey, thanks, Danielle, for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
That was Program Director of Budget, Policy and Institutions at the Grattan Institute, Danielle Wood, speaking with us about their report about protest politics on the rise in Australia.